May we help to commence the worship of God this evening by singing together hymn 249. Hymn 249, to the tune Redeeming Love, 724. O love divine, how sweet thou art, when shall I find my willing heart all taken up by thee? I thirst and faint and die to prove the greatness of redeeming love, the love of Christ to me. God only knows the love of God. Oh, that it now were shed abroad in this poor stony heart. For this I sigh, for this I pine. This only portion, Lord, be mine. Be mine, this better part. Hymn 249, tune Redeeming Love, 724.
Amen. evening, dear friends, let us read the Word of God. We turn to the Philippians, the Epistle to the Philippians, and we read chapter 2. The Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labour and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, ye may rejoice, that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. May the Lord own and bless the reading from his holy word of divine truth. And may the Lord help us now to pray. O Lord, our sovereign and ever gracious and ever merciful Lord God Almighty, we do thank thee for the return of the Lord's Day. We thank thee, Lord, for thy help and encouragement and confirmation in the forenoon of thy day. And now, Lord, we pray for the gracious continuation of thy divine favour, that it may redound to thine honour and glory, and be for the furtherance of the gospel, the furtherance of the kingdom of thy grace, and the furtherance of the work of God in our souls. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it, perfect it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, do come in thine appointed way and teach my soul to praise thy name, for thou art dear to me. Lord, this is an appointed way, the assembling of thy saints together in the house of God for the divine purpose of worship. And we have read, Lord, concerning being of one accord and of one mind. And so, Lord, we thank thee for this favour and blessing, and pray that thou wilt be with us tonight, oh, to command the blessing, even life, forevermore. The Lord, thou art the life of every living soul. Thou art the light of all thy dear saints. And so do grant life and light and the blessed holy liberty granted and given by thy Holy Spirit, so that we may be graciously favoured as we are met together, that there may indeed be spiritual profit, that we might be edified thereby, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Go before us, Lord, in every untrodden step. We can say with the psalmist, thou hast been my help, our help. We pray that thou wilt be with us still. Guide us right and bring us through. And may, Lord, not only thou our leader be, but do follow with thy goodness and thy mercy that shall attend us all our journey through, that we might be encompassed by thy great goodness and faithfulness and loving kindnesses unto us. Now, dear Lord, we pray, thou wouldest remember thy cause and interest here, O Lord, for many, many years, thou hast had a people here. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be with those that remain and abide in this part of thy one church. Help them, Lord, to go forward. Help them to press on. Help them to look alone to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Be with them, Lord, in all their matters, all their concerns, all their burdens. Help them, Lord, to commit their way to thee, to trust alone in thee. Thou hast promised to bring it to pass. Do feed them, Lord, in this part of thy one church, to feed the sheep and the lambs, O Lord, and do grant thy divine favour to rest upon the ministry of thy word, that they may be graciously led through the wilderness by the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night, to lead them in that narrow way that leadeth to life everlasting. Do be with them as a church and people. Be with them individually in the exercise of their soul, in their burdens that they carry. O Lord, and the tribulation of the wise, the heart knows its own bitterness, but a stranger intermeddleth not with the joy. O Lord, do then be with them each, and O remember thy servant in their midst, who goes forth Sabbath by Sabbath from this cause of truth, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Be with him, Lord, where he is today. Be with him in his ministry here. And may there be signs following his and the ministry of all thy servants, so that we may know that we do not labour in vain or spend our strength for naught. We pray for our brother at the desk in his office here, as deacon in the management of the calls on a daily or weekly basis. Help him, Lord, in all that this involves. Help him also with regard to the matters of the Bethesda Fund Committee, and grant wisdom and God-given understanding in these weighty and important matters. And help us each, Lord, to serve thee in our day and generation. Oh, remember the dear children brought into this house of God by their dear parents. Keep them safe, Lord. Watch over them by day and night. May no harm come nigh their dwelling. Keep us each safe, Lord, for we live in a sin-cursed world. Oh, the violence, the corruption there is in this world, and how we need, Lord, thy watchful loving care to be over us every day. Safety, Lord, is of thee. And O Lord, do remember thy one true church on earth, especially the body of churches to which we are affiliated, those in this land and those in America and Canada and Australia. O Lord, do we pray thee, remember the churches and grant that they might be renewed and refreshed from the presence of the Lord. May thy word, Lord, come down as the rain and distill as the dew upon our branch, granting that dew and unction so needful and necessary, that thy precious word may be received into our hearts, prepared of God to receive it, and we bring forth a little fruit For herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Remember, Lord, thy people in their trying and difficult circumstances, affliction. Oh, remember our dear aged sister Beryl with us tonight. Lord, we thank thee and praise thy holy name that thou hast brought her to 80 years. Oh Lord, may she look back and remember all the way the Lord thy God hath led her in this wilderness all these many, many years. We pray that thou wilt be with her still. Be with her, Lord, all her journey through, and crown her journey's end with everlasting peace. Remember thine aged saints, those that labour under infirmity and weakness, affliction and pain, and the weariness of these things. O Lord, do grant thy sustaining grace, thy upholding mercies, and that relief, and that recovering, and that sustaining, if it could please thee. And may all these things, Lord, may there be a spiritual recompense for the suffering of body and mind. Help us, Lord, to value the strength we have and to use it for thine honour and glory. Remember, Lord, that dear child, that dear lad, Lord, who has been mercifully spared following that calamity that overtook him on the past day. And we pray, Lord, that he may be spared and completely restored, and no harm to have come nigh his dwelling, his tabernacle, his body and his mind. And so, Lord, do hear the prayers of parents and grandparents and friends regarding his complete recovery. And do remember my own dear wife, Lord, in her affliction, and grant that thou who art the good physician would grant a touch of thy healing mercy. Now, Lord, as we turn to thy word, we pray for ministerial grace and God-given ability to rightly divide the word of truth. Bless also the singing of the sacred hymns. Be with us as we gather around thy table, O Lord. Now do make up in giving, Lord, where I fail to ask. Feed us with that living bread. May we drink from the wells of salvation, so that our hungering and thirsting may be met, that we might go in the strength of thy word, and living bread and living water through the days of this week. O Lord, thou knowest. Do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. When thou hearest, Lord, do mercifully forgive and pardon every sin. We ask all for Jesus' sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and has helped there will be a red address for the prayer meeting next Lord's Day, a red sermon in the morning service, and Mr. Marcus Funnell is engaged to preach during the evening service. May we now be held to continue our worship by singing together hymn 535, hymn 535, to the tune Hallelujah 672. Oh, the love of Christ to sinners, who can make its wonders known? Sin-born slaves, through grace, are winners of a bright celestial crown. Jesus gives us endless glory and renown. Jesus saw us sunk in ruin, and determined us to save. Shed his blood, and brought us to him. For our life, his own he gave. He redeemed us from sin, Satan, and the grave. Hymn 535, tune Hallelujah 672.
This evening, dear friends, by the help of God, I would ask your prayerful and loving attention for words to be found in the lesson, namely the second chapter, to the Philippians, and we read verse 5 and 6. Seeking the Lord's gracious help, let us wait upon the Lord in these words, verses 5 and 6 in the chapter read. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, this evening it is the time that when we desire to remember the Lord in the sacred ordinance that he has decreed that should be kept until the second coming, his second coming. And so we find it upon our spirit to speak concerning the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. This epistle written by Paul, he was not present with them when he wrote it. He says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. He wasn't with them. He had been at Philippi in a former day. Indeed he had. But when he wrote to them this epistle, he was a prisoner in Rome. And yet he was their spiritual father, and although many, many miles separated them, yet his heart was with them, and he desired their spiritual prosperity and the furtherance of the kingdom of God's grace in their hearts. And he desired that they might know this divine favour of union and oneness. He said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if there be. Well, dear friends, there was. Indeed there was. There's consolation in Christ. There's comfort of his love. You've been singing of it. There's fellowship of the Spirit and bowels and mercies. So these things are for the benefit of the Church of God and every vessel of mercy in particular. So he says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Oh, to be united in Christ, rooted and grounded in his love. And then we shall be of one mind, we shall be of one accord in the truth, as it is in Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus unites and binds his dear people in the bundle of life through the cords of his love. Sin separates. The Lord Jesus unites. So he exhorts to lowliness of mind and to esteem each other better than themselves. Oh, friends, what grace, what humility, what love. And you see, this is for the benefit of each individual member and unitedly of the whole church of God. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others, that we might be concerned regarding the welfare and the good and the favour and the blessing of the Lord upon others. Well, we come now to this beautiful verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, the exhortation in the scripture is to attain unto that which is good and profitable and God honouring, and not to be in the mire of sin and the world and the things that bring us into darkness and distress. So, this mind, the mind of Christ. When Paul wrote to the church of to Corinth, he said, "Ye have the mind of Christ." What a wonderful commendation it was to the church there at Corinth that they possessed the mind of Christ. Now we all have a mind. In the creation of God, the body, the mind, the soul, the spirit, these are words that are used in the Word of God relative to His people, but indeed, in a much greater way, the Lord Jesus Christ, because He was found in fashion as a man, and He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A man, a real man. And so, dear friends, in his sacred humanity, he possessed a mind. And this is set before us in the sixth verse, because being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So there's the activity, the spiritual movement and activity of the mind. And it's in thought. And every thought that came from the mind of Christ was holy, was pure, honoured God his Father. Every thought of his mind was sacred, divine, and glorious. And friends, he thought upon his dear people. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. And sometimes your thoughts concerning yourself, oh, you feel so burdened, so oppressed, so overwhelmed. And Satan comes with his suggestions and temptations concerning your standing in Christ. Oh, the dismal thought that may pass through your mind. But friends, remember this. The thoughts of Christ are greater and higher than yours. And his thoughts toward you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Why? To give you an expected end. And what was that expected end? Well, that expected end was that the children of Israel in their captivity in Babylon would be brought out and return to Jerusalem. That was the expected end. Was it fulfilled? Yes, it was. Now, the Lord's people hung their harps on the willows. They were despondent, discouraged, well nigh in despair. But God thought, and they were of peace and love. And he had a favour toward them. And in that captivity, the Lord never forgot his people. No, never forgot them. And the Lord doesn't forget you, friends, in your spiritual adversity either. No, he's still thinking upon you. He can't forget you. He can't forget his dear people. Why can't he forget them? I can tell you from the Word of God, you are great, and thy walls are continually before me. When Christ looks at his sacred hands, he sees the print of the nails, which he bore for his dear people. That's why he could never forget one of his dear people. And that's why his thoughts are thoughts of peace. Because he loves you and he's going to give you an expected end. He's going to deliver you from captivity. Deliver you from this wilderness. And take you to Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, which is above. You know, dear Joseph was a beautiful type of Christ in this. When the brethren came down to Egypt to buy corn, you see, Joseph, he knew his brethren, but they didn't know him. And you might say, well, that seems almost impossible to comprehend. If Joseph knows his brethren, surely they know him. No, friends. The Word of God clearly, Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him. Now why? Joseph never forgot them. Never. And why was that? Because of what he suffered at their hands. That's why he never forgot them. And that's why the Lord never forgets his people. Because what we've cost him in suffering. Now the brethren had forgotten all about their brother. Completely. Until the Lord brought them into adversity. The famine came. And then when they went down to buy corn, and Joseph, the governor of the land, spake as he did to them, then God laid the charge to their heart. And what did they say? We are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we took no notice of it. It had no effect upon us. Now you see, dear friends, spiritually considered, the elder brother of the church of the Lord Jesus, he saw not the anguish, not the anguish. Anguish in the Word of God is the limit of suffering in the mind that a child of God should know on this earth. Anguish. Now the Lord Jesus went further. And what was that? Agony. Agony. And this was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But friends, he never let this mind be in you. Suffering is the means the Lord uses to teach. It's the most teachable school that there is. You'll learn more in the school of suffering than you will in any other school. Look at the Apostle Paul. What was said of him? I will show him. Ananias said, as the Lord spoke to him, I will show him what great sufferings he must endure for my name's sake, for Christ's sake. And friends, what Paul learned, and we have the benefit of it in these epistles that he was unable to write by divine inspiration, and he wrote by experience as well. So, this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. Well, what was the mind of Christ? Well, humility. Humility. Oh, you'll see humility in its fullest degree in the person of Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. Oh, friends, what words they are. The eternal Son of God, co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, he humbled himself. Not that one degree of pride ever entered his heart. That was impossible. But he humbled himself for the benefit of his people. Because this humility brought him to obedience to the death of the cross. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So the death of the cross was a particular death. Well, of course, it was a death that the Romans inflicted on the people of the land. And they inflicted it to show their authority. If anyone transgressed, death by crucifixion was the penalty. And of course, there would have been many crucified at Golgotha when Christ was crucified. There were two thieves, one either side, two malefactors. But Jesus became obedient to that death. And why was that? Well, it was a cursed death. A cursed death. Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Friends, you and I were under the curse due to sin, our sin. We were under the curse. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things that are written in the law of God to do them. To do them. And we haven't done it. So the law condemns us. Sinai was a terrible experience. And it is for a sinner to die. People can talk about being a sinner, friends, but have they ever been to Sinai? What a difference there is, friends, there. Oh, if you've been to Sinai, friends, you know the thunders and lightnings of the Lord. You know the terrors there. You know the condemnation there. You know the feeling of the curse there. There's no mercy, friends, at Sinai. None at all. Only death and destruction and despair. But you say the Lord is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to lovely, ye are come unto lovely Mount Zion. Then the Lord Jesus became obedient then to the death of the cross, because in dying that death, then he delivered his dear church and people from the curse of the law. And as we read in Nehemiah, the Lord turned the curse into a blessing. Oh, friends, what a miracle, what a wonder. Turn the curse into a blessing. Has the Lord done that for you, friends? Has he turned the curse into a blessing? Has he brought you from Sinai and brought you to lovely Mount Zion and made himself known to you and revealed himself to you and spake comfortably unto you? Oh, friends, he bore the curse for his dear people. Friends, if you ever think about it, let this mind be in you, the mind of Christ. Now, the mind of Christ, first and foremost, thinks upon the Lord. And the apostle writing to the Hebrews takes it up in these words, consider him, consider him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Contradiction of sinners? Have you had some of it, friends? Oh, you say, I have, and it's a painful path. It is. The Apostle Paul knew what it was to have his ministry criticised and contradicted. It's a painful path, friend. Consider him. Consider him. What does it mean? To think upon the dear Lamb of God. That's what it means. Consideration. Now, with the Lord, it says, he thought it not robbery. Because here is a perfect thought. A perfect thought. A holy thought. A blessed thought. Now, the apostle writing to the church of God says, consider him. He doesn't say think, he says consider. And why was that? Well, because from our hearts, by nature, come evil thoughts. Under grace, there's gracious thoughts. Now, consideration is the exercise of the mind of the believer in a gracious, God-honouring way to think upon the dear Redeemer. But Paul qualifies it, consider. Because, friends, in our hearts by nature, one of the sins of our forefathers is evil thoughts. This is what Joseph said to his brethren. Ye thought, and it was, wasn't it? Look what they did to him. Evil thoughts. Oh, behold, this dreamer cometh. Let us slay him. We'll see what becomes of his dreams. Evil thoughts, friends. Yeah. And our poor fallen nature is guilty of it. Who here, friends, and who in the whole Church of God could say they've never had an evil thought pass through their mind? You have. You have. And so have I. We all have. It's a part of the fall of man. Jesus Christ, every thought, he thinks upon his people their perfect thoughts. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because it was not robbery. It wasn't robbery to be equal with God, because he was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. He is God, the eternal Son of God, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And what did the John say in the Gospel, chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They're one. They're equal. So this is why he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Because he is God. He ever was God. And he ever will be God. The eternal Son of God. One. Blessed thought, friends. Sacred thought. Oh, friends. Who can ever comprehend the blessedness of this thought? Now, friends, you see, the psalmist said, the Lord knows my thoughts afar off. The Lord knows. Because he can see your heart. He knows the thoughts that come from it. The knowledge of God is complete. It's total. Friends, it's a very... It sets before us the majesty, the glory and the power of God. He knows all things. This is what Peter said, didn't he? Lord, thou knowest all things. The Lord knows all things about you and me, dear friends. He knows all things about us, everyone. Nothing can be hidden from Almighty God. But you see, the dear Redeemer, this holy, sacred mind, which was also in Christ, let this mind be in you. To think upon the Lamb of God. To think upon the dear Redeemer. To think upon his sufferings. To think upon his death. To think upon his resurrection. Now you may say, oh, my poor experience. I can't seem to claim much at all. Friends, do you ever think upon him? The dear Lamb of God. Do you think about him? Do you ponder him? Do you think upon his sufferings and death? Do you think upon his resurrection? Do you think of all the miracles he performed? Do you think upon him being despised and rejected of men? A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Friends, the salvation in the thought. Yes. Those that feared God, they spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was those, for those who not only spake, but thought upon his name, they should be mine. They should be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. They thought upon his name. You can come in here, friends, can't you? And say, yes, I hope. In my sorrows and griefs and afflictions and trials, I'm led to Jesus Christ. To think upon him, what he endured to atone for my sin. And you have thoughts upon his sacred, holy, blessed name. And there you muse upon, there you think and ponder. Friends, they should be mine, these that think. I remember years ago at the Decker there was a man and he died in his 50s, I think he was 57, and he attended the House of God and was a very loyal and very kindly man, and he'd never said anything spiritually, and he died at 57. And my father was passed out to take his funeral. Never said a word. But the testimony of God, friends, is greater than the testimony of men. And that was the testimony spoken at the funeral. Those that thought upon his name, they should be mine in that day when I make up my jewels. Oh, friends, what a blessed word. Came with power. What a sweet and blessed assurance of that man's eternal interest in the finished work of Christ. Because however gracious and good and God-honoring your testimony and witness is, let me tell you, dear friends, the witness of God concerning you is greater. If we receive the witness of men, if the witness of God is greater, God's witness concerning you is greater than your own witness, friends. The Lord knows more about you than you know yourself. Because he knows the beginning to the end. You don't know to the end, but God does. So his knowledge of us is greater than ourselves. We haven't got to the end yet, have we? God knows the beginning to the end. His knowledge is perfect and complete and absolute. And so, dear friends, the Lord knew far more about those down in captivity in Babylon than they knew themselves. But the testimony of God through the prophet Jeremiah was graciously and wonderfully fulfilled. It was so with the children of Israel, wasn't it, when they were in Egyptian bondage, and that cruel bondage that they were in, and Moses went with the word of God. They didn't receive it because of bondage and cruel and anguish of spirit. Was it brought to pass? Were they brought out of Egyptian bondage? Yes, they were. The Passover, the Paschal Lamb, they were brought out. God knew more about them than they knew themselves. Their unbelieving heart couldn't receive that ever be delivered because the bondage was so great. And friends, you may be in a trial and in conflict of mind so great, and you may feel as though, oh, will the Lord, can the Lord deliver me out of this? Can the Lord appear? And unbelief comes in and limits the power of God. But dear friends, the Lord's word was fulfilled. The covenant promise and engagement was fulfilled. The covenant given to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob was brought to pass. Friends, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, the sacred mind, the blessed thoughts. Now, this is a blessed, good and a high standard. Yes. But you see, the gospel sets before us and the epistles that we are to attain by these things. It's that endeavour. Now, this is a gracious exhortation. Indeed it is. Every exhortation in the Word of God can be attained unto. Not in your own strength, not in mine, but by the grace of God. There's nothing that we've been exhorted to do to the glory of God that cannot be done. It can be done by the sufficiency, the all-sufficiency of God's grace. So friends, if Satan comes in and says, well, you can't do this and you can't do that because you're a sinner and you're weak and all the other evil suggestions that Satan brings in to excuse you. Yes. Friends, Satan's a liar. You can do this by the grace of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and thy neighbour as thyself. This is the first and great commandment. Friends, can you do it? Yes, by the grace of God you can. Because there's a sufficiency in that grace. Why? Because it flows from Christ. You know the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, the riches of his grace, yet for your sakes he became poor, the poverty of his sufferings and death, that ye through his poverty might be made rich, spiritually rich, through the poverty of Christ, the sufferings and the death of Christ. Friends, this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Oh, friends, what a wonderful and a blessed experience. The people of God, favoured thus, they are of one accord and one mind. And this was the case the day of Pentecost. They were all together, a great number, that they were all of one accord and of one mind. Then the Lord granted that divine blessing, the sacred gift of the Spirit of God. And friends, Peter preached, as you know, and God crowned the ministry by the sealing of the Spirit in over 3,000 souls that were wrought upon by the Spirit of God. Friends, but the secret was they were all with one accord and one mind. Now this sets before us this truth, the way to blessing. And friends, this is just a personal application to you, dear friends at Maidstone, it's the whole Church of God. Union, oneness is the pathway that leads to blessing. Well, individually, may we be favoured with this beautiful mind, the mind of Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Is your soul at rest? Is it? Take my yoke. What is this yoke? It's the yoke of love. Bound to the Lord by the cords of divine love. Well, dear friends, we must draw to a close now. We have the sacred ordinance to attend unto, but all these truths in this second chapter are indeed sacred and divine as they deal with and speak of the apostle in his sufferings for the Lord's sake, was qualified and under the divine influence of the Spirit of God, wrote these sacred truths, absent from the church at Philippi. But he was with them in spirit, in mind, in heart, he was with them. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Nothing separates the Lord's people. No, there's no power on earth that can separate the Lord's people from the love of Christ. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own. Eternally. Well, dear friends, may the Lord own and bless his own sacred, precious, holy truth. And may we be favoured with the mind of Christ. Amen. May the Lord help us to commence the sacred ordinance by singing a part of hymn number 153. I will read verse 1 and then we will sing verses 2, 3 and 4. Come, all ye chosen saints of God, that long to feel the cleansing blood, in pensive pleasure join with me to sing of sad Gethsemane, singing verses 2, 3 and 4. Hymn number I will just read, as the Lord helps me, a few verses in Matthew 26 from verse 36 relative to Gethsemane. Chapter 26 in St. Matthew from verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from thee, except I drink it, Thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on thou and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. This sacred, blessed account of the dear Redeemer in Gethsemane. And Gethsemane was the place where Christ suffered in his holy soul. The sufferings of Christ, dear friends, were complete. And here in Gethsemane, as we read in Luke, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And so here is the agony of his soul. Golgotha, Calvary, was the crucifixion. And so, dear friends, we ponder the Lord as he went into Gethsemane, and he took with him these three favoured disciples, Peter, James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, their soul salvation depended on Christ's suffering in Gethsemane. And friends, you see, they couldn't watch for 1 hour. The Lord said, Tarry ye here, and watch with me. Then Christ prayed the sacred prayer to his Holy Father. He fell on his face. Thank friends. He fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. The cup of divine wrath, which Christ drank quite up. And his disciples, when he was praying this sacred prayer, what were they doing? Asleep. There's the frailty, friends, of our flesh. Even in the deepest agony of soul, they were asleep. Oh, the effect of the Adam fall. The hymn writer said, Since Adam by transgression fell, on spiritual things we cannot dwell. The heart is turned aside. Friends, we need the Spirit. We need the Spirit. Then we shall be awake. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit is willing. And under the divine influence of the Spirit of truth, your spirit is willing and so is mine. But our flesh is weak. Oh, may we come to the sacred ordinance tonight. Under the influence of the Spirit, a willing Spirit. And as the Lord said, tarry ye here and watch with me. Because our salvation and their salvation depended upon that. This suffering in Gethsemane. And just one final point, dear friends, to bring before you. Then after Gethsemane, while he yet spake, Lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and stones. A great multitude with swords and stones. Friend, what suffering. Not just one or two, but a great multitude. And then the kiss of betrayal. Oh, friends, the sufferings of Christ. We need the Spirit of God, friends, to lead us to Gethsemane, to Calvary, where the Lamb was slain, and with us there abide. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. Take heed, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. Let us ask the Lord's blessing. O Lord, as we now come to pour forth the wine, may we be led by thy Holy Spirit to Calvary. One of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith there flowed out blood and water. Blood, dear Lord, to cleanse us from all our sins, and water to sanctify, that we might be enabled to serve and honour Christ the Crucified. Be with us, Lord, as we further wait upon thee now. We ask all for thy dear name's sake, Lord Jesus. Amen. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. What a sacred thought, what a blessed thought, friends, isn't it? This ordinance to be observed until Christ comes the second time. Let us now further sing from hymn number 153, and we'll sing verses 5 and 6. Dispatched from heaven, an angel stood, amazed to find him bathed in blood, adored by angels and obeyed, but lower now than angels made. Sing in verses 5 and 6, hymn number 153. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And now, Lord, do dismiss us with thy favour, taking us to our homes in peace and in safety. Be with us, Lord, through life and after death, the plenitude of heaven. May thy grace, Lord Jesus, the Father's love, the communion of thy Holy Spirit, be with us all this night, and forevermore. Amen and amen.